In Elul, we try every week to speak about a different personality and some of the unique contributions of that personality to the world of tshuva. The reason why we do that is for a couple reasons why we do that. One is just for us to be familiar with the fact that tshuva is a topic like many sugyas in the world of machshava, in which there are very different perspectives, and it's important for us to be familiar with the fact that the Meiri may have related to tshuva differently than Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, and Rav Salvechik may have related to tshuva differently than, let's say, the Sfas Emes. And part of the goal of that is just for us to be familiar with things, even on the level of Talmud Torah, to be familiar with different perspectives on the world of tshuva. There is an additional reason why we do it, and today we're going to be speaking about the Meiri and his unique mahalach, and how he relates to tshuva and his sefer on tshuva. But one of the reasons is because if we want to be able to encounter and to be successful in the world of tshuva, to be people who authentically engage in tshuva, it is sometimes helpful to be familiar not just with one way of doing tshuva, but with multiple ways of doing tshuva. The people we're going to speak about this year, there are no guarantees that that we're going to connect to all people equally, as if that's now our mahalach. But to be familiar with what's out there, to be familiar with some of the ideas that are out there, hopefully we can glean some inspiration from, and hopefully we'll be able to be familiar with more Sfarim to look at, we'll be able to be familiar with more insights to, again, Be'ezra Hashem, be able to glean a good deal about the world of tshuva as a whole. We are talking today about the Meiri. The Meiri is one of the great Rishonim, and he wrote a sefer on tshuva. Here are two different editions of it. Chibur HaTshuva LeMeiri, not a small sefer at all, as we'll speak about. One of them put out even, I think, last year, from Moshe Tzuriel, the former Mashgiach of Shivat Shalvim. And I want to try to do a couple of things. Number one is to explore a little bit what motivated the Meiri to write the sefer. It's absolutely fascinating. What that motivation tells us about the kind of sefer he then wrote. And then to be able to relate to really just three or four Torahs of the Meiri and Tshuva that can give us a little bit of an insight in terms of what, as a whole, he did. Many, many authors, when they write Sfarim, this is true for Tshuva like it is for anything else, will often feel the need on some level in their introduction to justify, to try to give some insight into why they wrote that Sefer. Sometimes people will write about it as if, why am I worthy of writing a Sefer? What's the purpose of publishing the Sefer? Why is this a topic that needs to be spoken about? The Meiri tells us the reason why he wrote the Sefer in Tshuva, he was fairly young when he wrote it, was because of an interaction he had with a non-Jewish scholar. The Meiri writes, he was talking, I imagine, with a Christian scholar, and the person said to the Meiri as follows. It's in source number one on the sheet. It's the Hakdama in Chibur HaTshuva. K'dabar elai chacham miyeser ha'amim, uvichlal devar v'galas asni. I was talking with a scholar from a different nation, and he revealed to me that they are in wonderment about the fact that B'nai Datenu Ozim Darchi Atshuva Aziva Muchlatas. Says the Meiri that I was told by this Christian scholar that they talk about in Christian circles how the Jews have in many ways entirely left the world of tshuva and are not engaged in a serious way in repentance. They also say, these Christian scholars, they also say that you can feel that the Jews are not so engaged in it in a serious way, and their vidoy, which is one of the core components of tshuva, confessional, so that is something which, from a Christian perspective, they say, the whole Jewish mahalach is not that real anyway, because you never really verbalize it out loud in front of anyone else. You don't go to confess to your rabbi. You go and it's between you and the Rabbono Shel Olam, and people don't relate to it with the same sense of severity. This scholar tries to diagnose the source of the problem, and he says to the Meiri, a theory out there as to why we think you Jews don't engage in tshuva that much is because you simply lack the book, you lack the sefer necessary for your people to do tshuva well. Tshuva, he writes, the Meiri writes, they said to me that tshuva, you can find some scattered ideas here and some scattered ideas there. You can find an insight over here, some halachas over there, some machshava over there, a maimer chazal over there, but there's no comprehensive work. There's no place you can go to that when you open that sefer, it's going to give you all that you need to be able to do tshuva well. So we can have halachas of tshuva, and we can have certain ideas about the philosophy of tshuva, but we're not going to be able to have says, again, this Christian scholar, to the Meiri, you don't have that work. And if you don't have that work, so how are people really going to be able to do tshuva that well? The Meiri is fairly young when he writes this. And the Meiri says, and I am going to do my best to respond to that. I'm not going to dismiss it. There may be validity to it. And the Meiri goes on to write a sefer called Chibur HaTshuva. Chibur HaTshuva of the Meiri is his attempt at, in many ways, giving us a comprehensive work on tshuva. Chibur HaTshuva, you can't just pick up one piece. It has discussions of sugyas in Shas, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Avelus, all there in tshuva. Has discussions of Jewish philosophy. It has discussions of Torah HaMachshava. Has discussions about free will, Bechira Chafshis. Has discussions about what generates, what makes tshuva more challenging to do. Had discussions about the role of midos, a long discussion about ka'as and gaiva and things like that. And the Meiri is writing this as a book of tshuva, his attempt at bringing everything together. Giving you a sefer, which if I go through the sefer, I will be familiar with the main ideas, all of them, about tshuva, be it in the world of halacha or agada, machshava or tanach. He's quoting, you know, the Radak Anach all the time. He's quoting all over the place in order to give us a lot of midrashim, a lot of understanding of psukim and nach, all there to give us what we need for tshuva, because one of the challenges of tshuva is that it's hard to find that one location. Two ha'aras to be able to appreciate things just a little bit more. One, maybe three ha'aras. One, it happens to be just incredibly, there's something very inspiring about this. Sometimes when a person hears a critique, their natural reaction is to be dismissive of it. In particular, if you hear a critique from someone who in many ways is more of an outsider. Someone comes in from the outside and they critique your yeshiva, they critique your camp, they critique your school. So sometimes naturally we become a little bit more defensive. And almost the most powerful lesson necessary for tshuva, that the Meiri Sefer, before we even open it, teaches us, is taking critiques seriously and taking criticism seriously and being able to respond not by being dismissive, but by being reactive and doing whatever we can to rectify what may in many ways be an actual challenge. And that's something which is, again, in and of itself, for me, on a tshuva level, before the sefer itself, you're reading a tshuva, which is, you're reading a sefer, which it's at its core is motivated by some things that are very, very holy. Two additional things to know. None of these are, again, not per se as inspiring, but it's important to be able to get. Of all of the Rishonim, the Meiri is the one who is most associated with a variety of kulas in terms of how we interact with Umos HaOlam, how we interact with Christians and others. The Meiri, in many ways, is the most makel. We're not going to go into exactly how and in what way and what areas, but a lot of the sugyas in Maseches Avodah Zarah that talk about how you treat non-Jews, the Meiri argues that does not apply to the non-Jews that we have nowadays. Our non-Jews are more sophisticated. They aren't barbaric. They aren't as unsophisticated. They're not people that, says the Meiri. Meiri is going to relate in a very, very different way to non-Jews. And for many, he was when he's young, for many academics, if you look in Dr. Yaakov Elman's Zichrono Livracha, passed away, I think, less than a month ago, professor in YU for many, many years, Talmud of Rav Huttner, wrote everything from Gemara to Rav Tzadok and Rav Huttner, and just a giant of a figure. Dr. Elman points out also, you begin to just note the fact that the Meiri in all likelihood had relationships with non-Jews, and also Dr. Elman points out, at minimum, this non-Jewish scholar who's telling him to write this book in tshuva, the Meiri has to have taken him at least seriously enough that there's something going on here to then respond as such. You know, presumably he took it seriously the way he writes it here, and this is not a random choice. Dr. Elman writes, nevertheless, the very fact that the Meiri took his Christian criticism seriously indicates that he recognized him in some sense as a spiritual equal, whose opinion on spiritual matters should be taken seriously. Took it seriously. Can one imagine, say, the Baal HaTanya doing the same? The Baal HaTanya, again, that was not a random choice of a name. The Baal HaTanya had a very, very different orientation in regards to non-Jews in the beginning of Sefer Tanya. And the Baal HaTanya, one would not imagine him sort of responding as such to a non-Jew critiquing it. He would have said, you know, you have no idea what you're talking about, v'chule. The Meiri does come with that orientation. The next thing to know, which is going to be very, very important, is why the Meiri is the right one to do this. in general, when we learn Rishonim, one of the things that we're going to pick up on, and please, but this is an important Derech HaLimud point. It's good to understand the flavor, the style, the methodology of different Rishonim. Many of us know the difference just intuitively between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi tends to explain the Gemara in front of us, help us have a better understanding as far as how to read the Gemara, and therefore we look to Rashi sometimes when we're not exactly sure what Pshat is in a Gemara. Most of us do not naturally, with the exception of maybe Tosfos like in the Nedarim, most of us do not naturally turn to Tosfos when we don't understand the Gemara as much. Tosfos is much more into, again, these are all oversimplifications, explaining this Gemara in light of other Gemaras and trying to sort of fit all of Shas together. The Meiri's style is very unique. The Meiri's style in Shas is very unique, and it's true in Chibur HaTshuva also. Number one, just to appreciate what the Meiri does and why he's in many ways the right one to write this kind of a Sefer. The Meiri, even in Gemara, as I think Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik points out, you don't have to even read the Gemara to be able to read a Meiri. The Meiri takes you from the beginning. He tells you the Mishnah, he tells you how to interpret the Mishnah. He then gives you, he's a very clear, organized, structured writer. He tells you what are the main things going on here, and now let's focus on the conclusions. He's not getting as much involved in all Shakla Vitaria or things like that. It's a Sefer which is written in a bit of a much easier Hebrew than, let's say, the Ramban is written. That Meiri also, what he does, is you sometimes get the feeling the Meiri is more, at times, almost of like a secondary source. The Meiri does an unbelievable job quoting other people. He does an unbelievable job quoting other people, and that's why the Meiri is a great resource for. Sometimes we show him that we don't have otherwise, and again, he's someone who's able really to pull things together in a very, very impressive way. In the beginning of this edition, they just quote how many times he quotes, you know, from people who lived in Provence, where he was from, to the Rambam all over the place, to the Rashba, to Rashi and Tovos, to the Radak, to the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, to Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. He's really quoting from all over the place. That was the Meiri style, how the Meiri did things. This book was not published, I believe, until about 1950. The Meiri was left in manuscript. This part of the Meiri was left in manuscript. We didn't have it until the 1950s. They have letters here that when they found the manuscript, so they asked Chaim Ozer, Reb Nachum Zemba, and the Ger Rebbe, three Gedolei Yisrael, just to look at it, and they confirmed, certainly at least two of them, Furish, Chaim Ozer for sure, confirmed that it's totally the Meiri style, which is amazing to be able to do. To be able sometimes to, P. Zetzner writes this, that, you know, the more that you learn, if someone showed you a paragraph and said, who's the author, the paragraph was from the Rambam, you would be able to identify that paragraph. Oh, that's a Rambam paragraph. Someone shows you a commentary on Chumash, so it could be you'd be able to identify, oh, that sounds like Rashi, or that sounds like the Ramban. The more that a person is knowledgeable, you feel the style of someone. And the more that a person's read a bit of Meiri, as an example, you feel, wow, that's a Meiri, the way he quotes other people, the kind of language he uses. And one of the great things we could do as far as our own learning is that the more Sfarim we have where we feel like we have an understanding of that personality and how they write, that is something in and of itself which can be very, 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 very important. That's all the first section, what's motivating him to write the book and what exactly he does. I want to share with you three or four different insights of the Meiri to give us, again, a little bit of a flavor in terms of what exactly he does. Let's start like this. We'll go with some that are relevant to Elul, and then we're going to broaden from there. Again, the Meiri at the core, many Sfarim you can find like their one theme. The whole vort of the Meiri Sefer is that there is no one theme. The theme is, let's bring everything together. But what the Meiri does, and this is what's amazing, it's only published in the middle of the 20th century. But the Meiri, when he publishes that, does give us a lot of things that you'll have vorts that, or insights that come about in the 1600s, that we find the Meiri really said the idea before anyone else. And we'll find things the Midrash and the Meiri quotes that we don't have. We'll find some things the Meiri quoting Deyas or things that we're not as familiar with, that we didn't have access to. Let's begin to explore a little bit some ideas of the Meiri. And we're focusing not so much on the halachic section, but three or so insights of the Meiri, hopefully that can be beneficial. Source number 7 on the sheet. Chibur HaTshuva, this is page 250 in this edition. Many of us know the pasuk. We read it all the time on fast days. Dir Shu Hashem Bihi Matzo Kerubi Oso Karo. That a person should search out Hashem when he's found. You should call out to God when God is close. Ask the Gemara Mesach Roshana. When is God close? when it's got close. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Elu hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. Tshuva is always something which a person should do, but dafka in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, there is a greater opportunity because God is extra close. The Me'iri here quotes a Medrash. This is not one that we have. And the Medrash, the Me'iri connects to a Minhag, which came out none of us do, because we're all Ashkenazi, but one that's fascinating. The Me'iri quotes a Medrash as saying, Dear Shu Hashem Behimat El Kurubi El Dioso Karov, the Ribbono Sholem is closer through all of Chodesh Elul. All of Chodesh Elul, not just Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the Ribbono Sholem is much closer. The way that you would say that if you had Chabad leanings, HaMelech Basadeh, if we're familiar with that from the Alter Rebbe. So in Chabad Chassidus, I believe there are two kinds of HaMelech Basadeh, of God being in the field. In the 3 weeks in the summer, what it means that the king, the Ribbono Sholem, is out in the field, it means that the home is destroyed. Because Baruch was out in the field. That's the HaMelech Basadeh for 3 weeks. No one is singing songs at that time about how the Ribbono Sholem's Mikdash was destroyed. However, HaMelech Basadeh of this Tkufa is HaMelech Basadeh because not the Ribbono Sholem's out in the field because he has nowhere to go. Because Baruch is out in the fields because he wants to be with us and wants to be more accessible. And for the Me'iri, that's what Elul itself is really all about. It's a time period of Dir Shu Hashem B'Himatzah Kurubi Yosokarov. The Me'iri himself happens to emphasize that this is Dafka. If you look here, four lines up in the bottom, it's verse number 7. Amruzal, four lines up in the bottom. Al Inyan Hayosokarov, Sharoi L'chol Le'Shtad El Kodem Rosh Hashanah. The Hefter Tfilos, the Rosh Chuvos, Kedeshi Kanis Rosh Hashanah B'Taras Aleif. A lot of the goal of what we're doing in Elul is to be able to appropriately daven, appropriately prepare ourselves to be able to enter Rosh Hashanah properly. The Me'iri connects us to the Minhag that Sfaradim have quoted in the Ran and others to start saying Slichos in the beginning of Elul, because part of what we're trying to do is to appropriately prepare. So the Me'iri, again, one sort of an insight is just let's get the time down. This is what we really should be doing. Second insight of the Me'iri, I was actually as I was reading this part of the Me'iri, I remember it a bunch of different times. I remember thinking, this sounds a lot like Rabbi Nachman. And then I wasn't sure. Is it that I'm like, I don't know. You know what? My self-reflection will share for another time. The Me'iri in the beginning and throughout the Sefer does something which is unbelievable as far as tshuva goes. If you're writing a comprehensive work of tshuva, and this is where we have to understand the Me'iri, it's not a work only of information. There are Sfarim sometimes that will give you all the information that you want to know about tefillah. But they're not necessarily going to prepare you to actually daven better. I'll be a more informed Jew, but maybe everything I read about, I'm going to think is not relevant to me. Maybe everything I read about about tefillah, I'm going to say, okay, I get what tefillah is, I get what the words mean, I know what kavana is, but lav dafka, is that remotely relevant to me at all? Part of the idea of a klali, comprehensive work in tshuva for the Me'iri, is to make sure that every person who reads this is able to do tshuva. Next step, obviously if the Me'iri was mekabel the point, he was living at a tkufa where people thought that people were not keeping tshuva appropriately, people were not engaging in tshuva appropriately. So how does the Me'iri begin his sefer in tshuva? He begins his sefer in tshuva in Maimer Aleph, Perek Rishon, to explain that a person should never have Yeyesh. No Yeyesh at all in the world of Tshuva. The Me'iri says, Levayer Boshe Ein Lachoti List Yayesh Ben HaTshuva B'Shum Tzad V'im Hiflig Lachto V'Erchol Yomei. A person should always know they can always do Tshuva. The Me'iri goes on to say, don't buy into this, into these insights, don't buy into what you're going to hear sometimes, that there are certain Chatam for which you can't do Tshuva. Don't buy into that at all. Don't make the mistake of believing that a person could ever be so distant as to not do tshuva. Along these lines, the Me'iri has a pshat. It's a pshat that if you are into chassidus, you'll quote from the Baal Shem Tov. If you're a YU person, you'll quote the Rav. If you're hanging out here, you'll quote Rav Kook. Tinted comes from many, but the Me'iri has it also, and he wrote tshuva beforehand in a bit of a different way. That we know the Gemara tells Masechet Chagiga that Elisha ben Avuya, question, is that really true? Can everyone really do tshuva? So the Me'iri knows that there is a Maimar Chazal that implies that not all people can actually come along and do tshuva. Elisha ben Avuya is the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir. The Gemara in Chagiga describes how Elisha ben Avuya, one of the giants of Klal Yisrael, eventually goes off the derech and becomes a heretic. Rebbe Meir continues to, in a certain sense, at times, interact with Elisha ben Avuya to learn from him a bit, to be able, at times, to try to pull him even back. Elisha ben Avuya, at one point, Reb Meir says, it's described in the Gemara, like, come back and do some tshuva. And Elisha ben Avuya says, no, I heard coming from Shemaim, I heard the Baskel. Shuvu banim shovivim chutz me'acher. Elisha ben Avuya is called Acher, the other one, because of his shift away from Yadus. And he says, I heard the message, shuvu banim shovivim chutz me'acher, that all can come back except for Acher. The way the vort is often said over is, again, kipshuto, the Gemara seems to say, and you have Ma'amari Chazal like this, that there are certain sins, there are certain people who can get to a point where they are no longer able to do tshuva. That is something which, again, comes up in the context of Paro, the Ribono Shel Olam hardening Paro, for some reason showing has to do with at what point is he no longer able to do tshuva. For some, the Medrash, how it fits to say for Yonah for a different time, is it possible that non-Jews can't necessarily do tshuva? There are those that will try to marshal a variety of makoros to tell us that you can't always do tshuva. And there are people that will say that certain sins you can't do tshuva for. You can quote a Zohar here or there, you can go to Mamari Chazal, that certain sins not. Says the Meiri, no. A person can always do tshuva. Tshuva banim shov mechutz me'acher. The way the vort goes at times is, acher couldn't do tshuva, but Elisha ben Avuya could do tshuva. That's how they like to say it sometimes. That if you think, so long as Elisha ben Avuya referred to himself, understood himself as being Acher, he had that kind of an orientation, I'm the other one. I'm no longer Elisha ben Avuya. He would never be able to do tshuva. But the way the vort often said over, how you realize that he is, at his core, still Elisha ben Avuya, he for sure could have done tshuva. The Meiri reads the Gemara a little bit differently, if I'm understanding it correctly. It's an unbelievable read of a Gemara, and one that I also find to be very, very inspiring. Look at source number 9 here. He says as follows. Uvidrash Amru Alzeh, 3 lines down on the last column of the sheet. Uvidrash Amru Alzeh, Shuvu Banam Shovim Chutzme Elisha Ben Avuya. He doesn't even quote the Gemara saying Acher, so the vort's not going to work for him. Shahay Yodeya Kochi Umarad Bi. Elisha ben Avuya can't return because he knew, the Ribono Shel Olam says, my power. He rebelled against me anyway. Listen to this, it's unbelievable. V'ze amnam dimyon. Heyos zehadas pashut be'enav. Shlo to'il ha'tshuva l'mafligim b'meret. It was all, says the Meiri, it was totally imaginative. It was totally Elisha ben Avuya just assuming that that was the case. There was no explicit real baskol. He didn't hear Shuvu Banim Shovim Chutz Me'acher. It was Elisha ben Avuya who had convinced himself. It was Elisha ben Avuya who had convinced himself that he is not going to be someone who is able to ever do, who's able to ever do tshuva. Sometimes a person, says the Meiri, can be so far. You want it? It's good stuff. Sometimes a person, says the Meiri, can be so far. A person can be so distant that they even convince themselves that they can never really come back. They're going to tell you that it's absolutely impossible. They're going to tell you it can never be done. And the Meiri, in the beginning of his Sefer, wants us to understand that there has to be buy-in for there to be tshuva. Kolzman, a person believes that they can't rectify their actions, then all of the lumdus and the Sigurd of Rosh Hashanah and Yuma, he's going to tell us. All of the discussions of Mesechus Tainus, Mesechus Moikatan. All of the discussions about different parts of tshuva that he works off of, Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, all of those, if a person believes like that they can't do tshuva, it is all a waste. And if the Meiri is functioning at a time when people don't believe that they have the ability to be different, so says the Meiri, understand, you can convince yourself sometimes of this. Understand that's something which can at times happen, but it is undoubtedly a profound error. So, it's number one. It applies even to all of Elul, when it's relevant. It's number two, the Meiri is to mechazik, so a lot to say for you can all do tshuva, let's do tshuva well. Source number 10 is one additional kinach. One additional kinach here, and it's one that I think is very, very important. There was a professor in NYU, Rav Shmuel Mirsky, who put out, this is an unbelievable thing. There were two people working on an edition of Chibor HaTshuva of the Meiri to put it out. Rav Avram Sofer put this out, and Shmuel Mirsky in NYU, in like 1950s or something, I'm guessing around then. Rav Avram Sofer, who put out all of those Meiris, a whole set of Meiri was put out through him, heard that someone else was putting it out, I believe he asked Rav Shmuel Mirsky, would you mind not publishing your edition so that he would be able to publish his? My hunch is that it was very much tied to his Parnassa to be able to do so. He said, would you mind not publishing your edition? Shmuel Mirsky, this is also an unbelievable thing, does not publish the edition, even though, as some note, the beginning, because this was significantly better. He published an article with, I believe, 250 corrections to the Chibur HaTshuva, which he had in his edition of the Chibur HaTshuva, but he decided not to publish it as an act of, he writes it in this sefer of his, which is on the Meiri, but it's quoted here also. He writes that, after I published this, I was about to take it out, Rav Avraham Sofer told me, he's also putting it out, based on one edition. He asked if we don't put it out at the same time. He only used one manuscript. Rav Shmuel Mirsky had many more manuscripts. He decided not to. In the journal Ha'aros Vashvaros L'Ksav Yad Ram, he quotes on 30 pages 250 changes he would have made to Rav Avraham Sofer's edition. Some of them have to do with like a missing line, a missing word, hard to understand, or things like that. But he decided not to publish it as a result at that time. Rather, publish all of the corrections. So Shmuel Mirsky, aside from being a tremendous scholar, there's like tzidkus there. There's legitimate greatness and the ability to work really hard at something and to know sometimes. It's an interesting thing about. I think I got more chizek. I've been learning this for a while. This summer, the Chibur Tshuva Meiri. I got more chizek, I think, from the. All the stuff surrounding the publication of the work than even just the work itself. Like, what got the Meiri going to write the Sefer was awesome. Who's going to put out the edition and how that's going to work is awesome. There's, like, a lot of just, like, inspiring stuff about just the history of the book before you talk about what's actually in the Sefer itself. Definitely things that are very, very powerful. Shmuel points out the following. If you look at that paragraph here, he does write the Chachmei Ha'amim were the ones who were trying to push him, but he writes something else. He suggests there was something else which motivated the Meiri to write the Sefer, and here is something else which you find in Chibur HaTshuva. Again, we're focusing on some of the more Musari components of it. I'm not familiar with who this is, but Reb Yaakov Anatoli, who was a little bit older than the Meiri and passed away when the Meiri was young, critiqued the people of his time on the following phenomenon. V'shkeda al limud gufan shal mitzvos v'azivas ha'esek b'kavanasan. There was a phenomenon that the Meiri, it's clear, I think, when you read the Meiri, he talks about this also. People who were keeping mitzvos, but were not keeping mitzvos with any sense of kavana, with any understanding of what's really going on behind it. They were too makbid on the details of halacha, which is great, without any real understanding of the pnimius, of the inner connection a person's supposed to have through their Torah and mitzvos. Again, there are elements of the Meiri, which if you, when you read it, you would think it was written like, you know, 20 years ago by some Polish chassid. The Meiri here critiquing that, or by Nevi'im, who also critiques us for this, but the Meiri has a couple sections here where don't make the mistake of thinking all Kadosh Baruch Hu wants are your karbanos, he doesn't want your kavana. There really is a desire here to make sure that a person is sufficiently connected to be able to do so. But here's an important point, and please listen up to this, because this, I think, is very, very yesodistic. The Meiri does not just publish a Sefer that highlights the importance of Kavana. It is not coincidental that the Meiri's Sefer merges together in different sections, Machshava and Musar, with real classic Gemara and Rishonim. The Meiri does not believe, and here's the mistake that people go in two directions. You will sometimes have people who emphasize only, like, the Lumdus Shebo. If it's not Mefurish in a Maimer Chazal or according to Ram Hachshuva, you know, then like, that's all I want. Just the details of what do I do all the time? What are the details for how I blow shofar? That's all that I really care about. Make sure I did it, kill chaso. You have some people on the opposite end, they get bichlal, they're not just being caught up in the details. It's all about their Ribono Shalom, you know, their Ribono Shalom loves me. I just want to hear whatever they're about. I just want to hear shofar. As long as I feel good when I hear shofar, I'm thinking about kavanas and everything's all covered. The Meiri wants you to be able to do both things. Not to be people who are lax in your halachic observance or don't appreciate the importance of those things. No. You got to like keep halacha well and know sugyas well and be able to go through Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim well. But also be able to be a person, aside from making sure that shofar is going to be blowed properly, that you have in mind the kavanas also. That we know how to do that well. That we're people who are able to understand the kavanas and not just the actions that are so critically important. So insight number one from the Meiri. All of Elul, their Baal Shem's close. So let's take advantage. Insight number two of the Meiri. Again, in many ways, it's like a hakdama to tshuva. Insight number two, to never assume that you can't do tshuva. Just to add, we also think that there are different madrigas in tshuva. Don't make the mistake of thinking if it can't go all the way, there's nothing. Don't make the mistake of thinking if it's not going to be perfect tshuva, then it's by definition not valuable at all. There's tshuva that people can do, and we do whatever we can for that to be tshuva. Point number three of the Meiri, which he emphasizes here, is that part of it has to do with let's hone in and make sure that our kavanas are in a really, really good place. A fourth point about the Meiri, but this will be our final one before we chazer, the following. Here he predates a well-known pshat. He has a pshat, but we didn't know about it until the 16th century, but the Meiri had it beforehand. There is a machlokas. It's an amazing thing. We all assume it's important to have good character traits. We do. Having character traits, that's a valuable thing. Some of the Rishonim were bothered with the question as to how come in the list of the 613, it never says to have good midos. If midos are really so important, so how come it's not quoted in the list of the 613? Shouldn't it be there? Like, if it's so chashev? So you have a bunch of different pshatim. Some Rishonim say it is in the 613. Where is it? What? Valachta bedracha. I have to be dovek to Hashem. The Gemara tells in a couple of different places. Shabbos, like Islamic Gimel, so I have to mirror the Ribbono Shel Olam. God is compassionate. I have to be compassionate. Some Rishonim even count individual midos. The Smag writes that he went to sleep one night. It was revealed to him in a dream. I believe this is how it goes. That he forgot. It's times of Rishonim. That it revealed to him in a dream that he forgot to count the Isser of having Gaiva. So Smag writes, I woke up the next morning, I opened up the first parak of Mesachas Sota, and as I went to the first next Sota, I said, oh my gosh, Taka, it's right. So I counted, he counted Gaiva on the list of the 613. If you have Chornim asked, but isn't it Loba Shemayimi? How come you're allowed to paskin based on dreams and things like that to change your mitzvot? So either the pshat is that it's not halach lamaisa, it's just how he's counted 613, or what did he do after he had that dream? He opened up a Gemara Masechta Sota and learned on his own. No, I'm not trusting the dream. I'm just checking, is the dream Sa'ara right? So yeah, Taka, it is. I opened up the Gemara Sota, and it's true. I have to count it like that. Some Rishonim do count Midos. Reb Chaim Vital is the great Talmud of the Arizal. 16th century Tzfas. Reb Chaim Vital is the one who really, the Arizal, we have very little of the published writings of the Ari himself. The Ari, again, the great Mekobo. Chaim Vital is the one who writes up most of Kisvei HaAri as coming from Chaim Vital. That's Torah, which is, again, the basis for so much of Torah HaKabbalah, Torah HaNister, as learned today. Reb Chaim Vital in Shari HaKedusha has a vort about this question, and it is one that the Meiri, I hope I have the page, my page is saved. Yeah. That the Meiri quotes here in Daf Tzadi Beis, he hasn't quoted, he's before it, but has here in Daf Tzadi Beis also, which is the following. What's the purpose of good midos? Why are good midos something which is valuable? So Chaim Vital says it's not part of the 613 because it is a prerequisite for all the 613. Certain mitzvos don't get counted in 613 because they aren't a regular mitzvah. They are the prerequisite. They are the necessary step to be able to fulfill all mitzvos. As an example, the Ramban writes, the reason why the Bahag does not count the mitzvah of Emunah is because Emunah is not one of the 613. It's a prerequisite for all the 613. If you don't have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, so how exactly am I now going to fulfill all 613? So the Chaim Vital, that's also the pshat with Midos. That's also the pshat with Midos. Midos are not one of the 613. If you don't have good Midos, you will not be able to fulfill the 613. That quality character traits, there's a necessary component in our capacity, in our ability to be able to do tshuva well. The Meiri has the same line when he breaks down what exactly the problem, why a person needs good midos, his take on midos. I believe the Meiri in Mishlei has a similar line, I think. V'chachmei ha-musar amru, sheyesh midos, shehein shoresh ha-averos. There are a lot of midos that it's not that they're inherently so important, they are the source. They are the source. They are the underlying cause for a whole lot of averos. V'hein, hakina, jealousy, says the Meiri. A lot of the reasons why we sin sometimes is because I'm jealous of someone else. Hataiva, I have desires. There are things I want. Kaas, I get frustrated. I get angry. Things bother me. Hagaiva, haazus, sinas, I don't want to hear tochacha, cruelty, all of these things. And he goes on to describe what exactly do these cause. What you have here in the Miri also, again, we're trying to highlight points in the Miri that sort of like prepare us for tshuva, is an additional cause for the problem of tshuva. The same way that you can have a sefer about Hilchos Tefillah that doesn't improve our davening that much, it's possible. You have a tshuva, you have a sefer that's 500 pages of davening that won't solve that much. Why? Because sometimes we have to break down to do tshuva well. Having hope isn't enough. Having the knowledge that we can do tshuva is enough. Having the knowledge that now is the right time to do tshuva, the month of Elul is a good time to do tshuva, that in and of itself is also not always enough. Direction, I want to focus on doing mitzvahs, but also on the underlying kavana. All very, very important. But sometimes, if we want to really do tshuva, the way the Meiri and Chibur tshuva, we have to understand what are the root causes of certain sins. If I have a hard time doubting with kavana, it's not about just doubting with kavana. Why? Having a hard time because I'm really, really tired. Having a hard time because I don't have a sitter. Having a hard time because I'm diving in the wrong minion. Having a sitter because I don't dive in the great makom. I'm having a hard time because I don't know what the word... To break down, what's the cause? Like, why is this happening? What's the underlying problem that makes this somewhat difficult? So here is where the man comes along. He says, part of the cause is not just a lack of faith in our capacity to do tshuva, but there are certain character traits that we have to be able... He has, again, pages and pages about dissecting the problems with gaiva and kas. And is gaiva ever appropriate? Is it never appropriate? And have that look. Because so long as I struggle with being frustrated too easily and getting angry, my interpersonal relationships are never going to be where they really are, where they should be. My ben adam lechaveiro is always going to be weak so long as I struggle with certain media. So start by dissecting what's the root cause. The Meiri is again trying to give us all that. Just chazer what we did more or less today. A lot of people, when they write about tshuva, have their unique take on things. You learn the Torah of Rav Kook, you're going to hear a lot of unique and original Torah. The Meiri has unique and original insights. His greatness, though, is not in that. His greatness here, and probably his greatness in Shas also, is the Meiri's capacity to give us a clear overview of things, to summarize lots of different shitas, to pull from a lot of different places, and to do so with keen insight in terms of what are the messages that we have to hear, what are all the things we have to find, what's our one safer I can open up, and I say, you know what, now I got something, now I understand what I need to know about tshuva, be that psukim from Tanakh, to Ma'amari Chazal, to Rishonim and Achronim, you know, I guess not Achronim, because he's pre-Achronim, but what are all the things that I can go on him, what are all the things that I can draw from? Aside from what's in the safer, which I have to point out, The Sefer itself, the background of the Sefer, is not only important, it's incredibly inspiring. The Miri is someone that responded to a need. Klal Yisrael wasn't doing tshuva. The breakdown was, from a non-Jew, the breakdown was that it's because of Klal Yisrael was struggling, didn't have that Sefer at that one place. The Miri is going to try to rectify that by restoring our faith and by giving us a Sefer that gives us all of that information. A person who wants to get a broad overview of what's going on in the world of tshuva, what's going on in the world of Yamim Noram and things like that. Chibur HaTshuva of the Meiri, it's a worthwhile safer to become a little bit more familiar with, to be able, at minimum, if we see it quoted, to look it up. There's a lot of good Torah in there, a lot of important Torah in there. May we be zocha to experience tshuva, kilchasa, all over the... May a tshuva which is halachni done appropriately, which is done in the deep way, deep in terms of learning, deep in terms of kavana, and to be, at minimum, that we understand the root cause of certain sins and be able to have the faith, the emuna, that shuvu banim tovim chutz me'acher is not that all people have the capacity to return. Shkai, guys, have a wonderful Shabbos and shkai on a great first week.